kariba ya rabasi di 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 bokobo karabasi di 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 bo sakarabaya kabasa kadi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Savior, oh God. Thank you, Lord. You are holy. Yes, Lord. Rebaya karabo sararaba kabasha karabo koko sakada. Yerebaya rabaka sediribo sharararara kabo saka. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us. I trust that God has kept you well and is keeping you well and is sustaining you. Amen. Amen. It's always good to rise up and just worship God and praise Him and give Him glory and just to keep in subjection to God and just knowing that there's a place that God has called us to. There's a discipline that God has called us to, you know, as children of God. And when we receive that license, that power, that authority, and the word there is exousia, when we receive that exousia to become children of God, it's a responsibility. And that responsibility is delegated responsibility, in that God gives us the delegation or the authority to exercise or to demonstrate Him or to live out Christ on the earth, that the world can see and know that God is real, that the testimony of God or the testimony of Jesus Christ is real, and that people will know through us. And if you think of how Jesus prayed for his disciples, he'll say that, I pray that they may be one as I and the Father are one, that they may be one, and that by this men shall, I mean, they might be also one with us, that by this all men will know that you have sent me. So the witness of God, or the witness of Jesus, that Jesus is real and that Jesus came on the earth, is when we become, and through the grace of God, through the understanding that we are filled with all the fullness of God, and we are able to demonstrate that which shows that Christ lives in us, because Christ in us, the hope of all glory. And that is what we're looking at yesterday. I in the Father and the Father in me, and you in us. And this is what Jesus said, that when the Holy Spirit will come, he'll pour out, he will not speak of his own, and he will come and take the Jesus and the Father, and they will come and make their home in us. And this we're reading from John chapter 14, and I pray that you shall be able to look at that. So today I want us to look at more of what I will call subjection, or submitting yourself to the Father of spirits, or looking of God, at God as the Father of spirits, and trying to see, to link it up to the leading of the Lord, and to also knowing that when we submit ourselves to the Father of spirits, we live. And for me, that's just the key word. And but we'll look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at some aspects of God's dealing with us as a father, in that he disciplines us, he takes us through chastisement, he takes us through sometimes situations that don't feel easy for us, in that no discipline is usually sweet at the point when it is given, but there is a place that God is taking us to, and he desires that we grow in him. So anytime we face certain things, we must distinguish it between chastisement, trials, attacks. So at times we should be able to have that distinction, that this is not a result of something that I've done wrong, or this is not a result of sin, but this is something that God is taking me through, that he wants me to bring out some righteousness in me. So we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 12. And we will read from verse 1, and then we'll take it maybe towards, we'll pick on a few verses there as we continue. So it says, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So just maybe in another day we'll look at this verse, but what the author, which I believe is Paul, is trying to tell the church is that we are surrounded by those who have gone ahead of us, those who have borne the testimony of truth. You know, like we are thinking of all the apostles, even those in the Old Testament, the men of God, the hall of faith, them that are watching. You know, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and these are people who've gone ahead of us in the faith. And I think they're not just like watching to see whether we'll fail or not, but they're more of like cheering us. And you can think of, you know, in Paul's time, they will think of they had the theaters, you know, the theaters where people will do sports and running and athletics and competition. And that is why you see that Paul uses a lot of such language to demonstrate to us the things of God. I mean, speaking of running, if everyone must run to win the crown, you know, and all that. So we can see he tells us that since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of people who are not just, who are cheering us on, encouraging us, you know, Peter, Paul, they're all encouraging us and they're cheering us. It says, let us lay aside every weight. You can imagine that if you're running, if you want to win a race, and I know like these people who do 100 meters and all that, when they train with weights, in that they put heavy things either on their legs, on their hands to build their stamina, to build their, you know, their power, their foot power. But you see, on that day of the race, they cannot run like that, because if they run like that, then they will be defeated. They need to be as light as possible, and that's why you'll find they're quite light. So it is hard to run and compete, let's say, with a bag on your back. So we are told, let us set aside every weight and the sin. So every heaviness, there are things at times that come to hinder us from going after God. And the thing is, the beauty of it is that the Holy Spirit keeps revealing it to us. Like as you walk with God, as you hear him, as you listen to his spirit, there are things that he will tell you, oh, by the way, you need to cut this. This is a weight in your life. This is something that you need, you've been running with, and you need to let go. It could be unforgiveness. It could be something that someone has done against you, and maybe they've not asked for forgiveness, or they will never even ask for forgiveness. And they feel maybe they're right and they're okay with it. And it's something that burdens you. And each time, you know, you go to God and you know that heaviness, or even maybe it's something that you've done, a sin that you've done, or something that you've committed. And we're being told that the sin that so easily besets us, the sin that so easily entangles us, you can imagine it's like you're trying to run, you have some ropes around your legs, you have baggage on your back, and you're trying to run, and is telling us, let us lay aside. That means there are things that we have to lay aside ourselves. Some weights might not necessarily be seen. It might just be what you will call weaknesses, you know, things that maybe God is still working in you and conforming you to be in the image of Christ. Remember, because we are made in the image of Christ, we are born again, we are born of God. And that is, we're given the right standing, the righteousness of God, and then we are in the sanctification process. And the more that we lay aside, the more that we are conformed to that image of Christ, the more that we keep looking at the Word of God, the more the Word of God makes us clean and purifies us and conforms us, and we are transformed into the very image of Christ, the very image of God. Verse 2, so how should we run? We should run looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So we are being told we have an example of Jesus. He was saving the very people who were killing him. He was dying for them. He was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He was being abused. His clothes were torn. He was pierced on his side. All that. He endured such contradiction from sinners. Yet, he did not lose his focus. He kept looking. He endured the cross, and he kept looking towards that prize. And who is that prize? It was you and me, the salvation of mankind. He was paying the price for our sins, and he kept that focus. At every point, remember, he told Peter that, "Don't you think I would have asked my Father, and you would have sent legions of angels to defend me?" Yes, he had every power to do that, but he set his focus on us. And that's why, and then verse 4, it says, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Look at that. We're being told that there are things that we will strive. We will keep, you know, keep putting to death. There are things that we have to keep laying aside. We have to keep putting aside. We have to keep knowing that this is something that is a baggage. This is something that is still holding me back. This is something that I still need to let go. In Christ, our faith, it is just, we put our faith in Christ. But remember, the Bible says the kind of worshipers the Father seeks are they that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit is a true understanding. Spirit is knowing that we are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We are born from above. Our spirits are made alive, and that we are connected to God. And the truth is living the reality, living the way, the truth, and the life, living in righteousness. It is the balance that we cannot be imbalanced, where we're just saying, "Oh, I am righteous. Oh, I am holy. Oh, I am made clean." And yet in truth, we are living a lie. And that's where the challenge, where you find people are living in what we'll call, you know, or I think what is called excessive grace or super grace, where hyper grace message, where it doesn't matter what I do, whatever I leave, whatever I do, God has forgiven me. I mean, whether in the future, in the past, in the what, I don't care. I can live as I want. The Bible says, "Let no one deceive you. Anyone who lives like this shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God." There are things that we need to still lay aside. And those are the things that God leads us. Romans 8:14, "For they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As you're continually walking with Christ, there are things that God continues to reveal to us. Why? And how does God reveal them to us? He shows us weaknesses and he provides places where he rebukes us in them. He provides chastening in it. And you're being told, "You have not yet resisted unto blood." That means, yes, you might be striving. You might be fighting against sin. You might be maybe struggling with some temptations that are coming your way, but it has not been to the point of death. It is not that someone that you have had to lose your life like Jesus did in his fight against, you know, against everything that he was going through. At this point that you're still alive, you still have the capacity to fight, and you still have the capacity to stand for truth and righteousness. And that is not of your own strength. It is by the power of Christ that lives in you. It is him that teaches us the way of righteousness. It is him that walks with us. It is him that guides us. It is him that directs us. And verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation," which means the encouragement, "that speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." This chastening here is the discipline. "Despise not the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives." Maybe simpler, yeah, he just punishes. "For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherish." Look at that. "For the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives." Verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, if we are not disciplined, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and then not sons. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by it. It yields the fruit of righteousness to those, I think it's NIV that says, to those who have been trained by it. And then it says, wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Or rather, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, rather be healed. Now I want you to pick this picture that the scriptures is pointing us to, of an earthly father. And even those that are parents, those that have children, any parent that loves their child will discipline them. Any child that is loved of their parents will be disciplined. And this does not necessarily mean, I mean, there's so much in the world right now about, you know, you should not cane your child, you should not do this, I mean, with all the research and all that. But if we look at scriptures, the scriptures actually tell us that discipline is important in the raising up of children. And it tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far away. And even when we come to God, there is still foolishness. That is the word. When the Bible says folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and when we think that when we are children of God, we are still in the process of growing into maturity, there are still some things that we do that even when you look at yourself, you say, ah, that was foolish. Or some things you said maybe to your wife or to your husband, and when you sit down afterwards, the Holy Spirit tells you, ah, you think what you said was right. And then immediately you just know, okay, yeah, what I did was wrong. And you just pick up your phone and either you send a message or you call and you apologize. And that is part of the chastisement that the Holy Spirit takes us through. It is because he wants us to be made, to be perfected to holiness. Discipline is where God inflicts, either it could be pain, it could be uncomfortableness, it could be maybe you're feeling a bit far from the Lord and you're struggling to get to him, or it could just be something that God takes you through, that a trial that, yes, maybe you've not sinned, but there's something that God wants to build you. At the end of it, when you go through it, what happens is that you realize that God was in it. In that every trial that we go through, God controls, you know, the intensity. He controls the level of the temptation that we face. He controls the intensity. And at times someone can be like, but this person is a believer. This person loves God. This person is a bishop. This person, we know his testimony. But why is this person going through maybe cancer, or why is this person going through the sickness? Why is this person going through? It's like a contradiction. At times you go like, I'm confessing, I'm believing right, I'm faithful, I'm in prayer, I'm praying for, let's say maybe for a sick child, or you're praying for a sick parent to get better, and they keep getting worse, and yet you're there, and you're there, and you're there. And at times someone will be like, but God, where are you? Why are you not hearing? Why are you not answering? I've prayed over this to go away, but it has not yet gone. And I'm thinking this was the place where Paul was praying, that I prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. Remove it, take it away. This tormentor of Satan, this thorn in the flesh, take it away. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, God at times, his answers can it really just blows your mind. He's like, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. For when you are weak, then I am strong. Then he says, therefore I will glory more in my weaknesses. Can you get to a point where you're looking at the things that you're facing? You're considering it pure joy when you face trials and temptations of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Any earthly parent knows when they give a child, like at times we have these bowls. We have these bowls where people fetch water, or even maybe if you're washing something with your child, and you will give them a small container or a small cup and tell, oh, you carry your cup, or you carry your small jerrycan. While you are carrying the big jerrycan, you carry your small one. Why? Because the parent knows that this is the capacity that this child can bear at this point. Even if we look at Job, the temptation, the testations of Job, the Bible tells us that God was like, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him who is righteous and blameless, who fears God. And the devil said, oh, does he fear you for nothing? Touch. And then God says, okay, you can touch everything that he has, but don't lay a hand on the man. And the man loses everything. So at each and every point, as a child of God, anything that God allows to come to us, it is allowed for a reason. And the purpose is to continually make us righteous. If you find that you're going through something and you're like, I thought this is gone. And it comes again, it is an area that Christ wants to reveal to you as a gap in your life. Remember, we are told, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him a chance. Do not give him an entry point. You know, I mean, if you look at that's Ephesians 4 towards 27 to 29. Where therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That means that a foothold is like just a place where he can just grab your leg and hold it. Do not give the devil a chance. Do not check your life. And this is where the discipline of the Lord comes in. Anyone that God accepts as a child, anyone that he receives as a child, anyone, and actually not even just anyone. The Bible, if you look at verse 8, it says, but if ye be without chastisement, if you be without discipline of God, wherefore all are partakers. That means that if you are anyone who is a child, or anyone who is a child of God, must know that all of us are partakers of the discipline of God. Even Christ himself partook of it. Even Jesus was on the earth. And that's what we're being told. Think of Christ. Think of everything that he went through. Think of the beatings that he went through. Think of the difficulty, the pain, the time he's struggling with the will of God. And he's like, Lord, if it is not your will, take this cup away from me. But then he has to get to the point and say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And it says that earthly fathers, they chastise us, they discipline us for their pleasure. That means sometimes some parents just enjoy beating children. They come stressed from work, and because the child just does something wrong, they release one slap and afterwards they feel good. Or some parents are just terrors. You know, like when he comes back home or she comes back home, the children just find their level. You know, they just find their bedroom, what, and everyone is busy reading, trying to read. Why? Because they know you're a terror. They say, earthly fathers discipline us for their own pleasure. Some just enjoy it, and after they've done it, these kids must know who is the man in the house. They must know who is the lion. Until I was listening to one of the jokes that our bishop used to say, that some child one day asked the father, why don't we go and live in church? And he asked why. Because church is the only place where daddy is good. It's the only place where we see a human side of him. But he's like, let's go and live in church. Now, the earthly fathers, they chastise us for their own pleasure. But not so our Father of spirits. Our Father of spirits, whom if we subject to, we live. He does it for our own profit. Anything that you're going through is for your profit. It is for your profit. And one thing you must know, there are things that God allows to keep us in check in holiness. There are things, there are certain trials, there are certain temptations that God will still allow in our lives because he's seeing that it is working out righteousness in us. It is working out holiness in us. It is working out sanctification in us, because as long as you're at it, then I see you're getting closer. You're maintaining that. And it says, for everyone who has been trained by it, he yields a harvest of righteousness and peace. It is a training of God. Anyone that God uses has been chastised and goes through chastisement and goes through dealings with God. Now, it is the discernment of the Spirit of God that he will give you to discern that this is not a result of my sin, or this is not a result of, it's not that I have failed God, no, but that God is building in me perseverance and maturity so that I may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I love the way it says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. And for me, what that speaks is to that there are manifestations of God that at times we desire to see. And God is like, you've not yet grown to that. I want you to grow to it. Continue growing into it. Because if you're stable, if you strengthen your weak knees, if you strengthen your weak arms, and you're straight, and you make your path straight, when you even encounter the lame, they will not stay disabled. You will heal them. You will raise them up. You will raise up the dead. You will heal the sick. And that is because you are continually on the path of righteousness and continually on the training of the Lord. And you have learned and have been dealt with, and such that whenever you face anything, you are just at peace. Anyone who has been tempted, tested, trained by the Lord, and if you go and talk to people, men of God, or just a believer that is committed to God, that there are things that they are committed to, if you dig down deep into them, they have a story. They have a story where they met God, where God dealt with them. And anyone who is accepted as a child of God, we are all partakers of it. None of us can escape it. But that is how God calls us to subject ourselves to the Father of spirits and live. Look at that life. You will live. You will live. You will live. Just submit yourself to God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Just say, God, I've heard you. I'm sorry. I'm convicted. What I said was wrong. I'm sorry. I accept it. Okay, you don't want me to go here. Fine. I leave that. Oh, you want me to drop this? I drop this. Continually, as you continually walk into that path of obedience, then you will also see that your hands and your feet are getting strong. Righteousness and peace are part of you. And even those manifestations that we are seeking to see, that God has already told us that it is given to us, will be revealed in our lives. I will stop there, and I pray that God helps us to just think of it, spirit and truth, the worshippers the Father seeks, not the worship, the worshippers, the people the Father seeks, are they that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You're welcome. Yeah, for any reflections.
Thank you for the word. I think it's been quite clear, and I've never stopped to think. Of course, I knew the story of Job.
Hmm.
I've always considered it as a test, not a discipline.
Hmm.
And just speaking, I started thinking, like, okay, I've never considered that actually God can discipline, because I've always believed that, you know, if anything that comes my way that is unpleasant, it's the work of the enemy.
Mm.
I didn't think, at what point do I know that this is God disciplining you, it's the enemy trying to, you know. But then say that when God allows anything to come your way, remember the past says that because he knows you have the ability to overcome, and if he has control of whatever is coming your way. So that is already perhaps the discipline that you're talking about. As a reminder, you know, whatever is not right, whatever you did is not right, and you need to turn your ways. And the other thing also I take from this is keeping our eyes on God. Just thinking of a marathon runner, you know, when you're running, you have to build your endurance, number one, and strength as you're running. And how to do that is to make sure that your focus is faith.
Yeah. You know?
As a Christian, I think in this sense, we look at our surroundings, you know, this is a race. Whatever is draining us, friends, you know, athlete, temptations and desires, all that is weight that may go down your running. So it's, I was just reflecting that. I said, okay, if you're to run faster to get to where God wants you to be, you just need to make sure that you lightweight.
Yeah.
Lightweight is letting go of all whatever might weigh you down in terms of trappings of this world. But it's a good reminder, and it's a good word to reflect on.
Thank you very much, sir. I think one of the things I am learning with discipline is that there is always an end goal. Even when you discipline your child as an earthly parent, there's something you want them to learn. So whenever I feel like maybe I'm being chastised by God, my question has always been, God, what is it that you're teaching me with all of this? Huh?
Yeah.
Because there's that thing we used to say that for God, for you to, like, you know how for in regular studies, education setting, for you to go to the next level, there has to be a test.
True.
Yes, and you need to excel at the test for you to be promoted. So sometimes, because God doesn't just do things randomly, there's always an end. Yeah, so sometimes we are disciplined by God, but we don't learn, or maybe whatever God wants to purge out of us, we are stubborn in our hearts. So I think with every discipline, even if it's a trial, even if it's from the enemy, because the Bible tells us that everything works together for good. Yes. There's even something God still brings out.
Amen.
from whatever trial and the rest. So for me, one of the things I'm learning is to always find out what exactly God is trying to teach me. Mm. What does he want to remove from me every time there's some form of discipline or trial?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. No, and that's true. And just maybe I'll reflect on the end result, and just looking at the case study of Job, and the Bible says that Job said that, I used to hear about you, but now my eyes have seen you. You know, like Job thought he was the most righteous man. He thought he knew God. He knew everything about God. Everyone depended on him. But after his trial, after his discipline, the Bible says he himself said, I used to think I know you, but now my eyes have seen you. I heard you by the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. So even Job in himself, he got to know God in a deeper way. And he just says, I used to hear of you. I used to think I know about you, but now my eyes have seen you. So the end result of it, and how we have put it, God has an end result of everything that we go through. And he is faithful. God is faithful. And there's nothing, no temptation has seized you except which is